Okay, so we'll do. Perek Nun Gimel, Perek Nun Gimel Pasuk Beis. Perek Nun Gimel Pasuk Beis. Vayal, we'll discuss these very difficult psukim by the Eved Hashem. Okay, these very mysterious psukim we learned yesterday, there are different interpretations we're referring to. Either refers to Melech HaMashiach, or it refers to Yirmiyahu, which is a very big chiddush from Rav Sadigon, or it further refers to Klal Yisrael. The Eved Hashem is Klal Yisrael personified as a single individual. And as we mentioned yesterday, these are very important pesukim because, as the Ibn Ezra says, that the Christians have hijacked these pesukim and have interpreted as reference to their avodah zarah. So up to pasuk beis vayal kayedik lefanav. This pasuk describes, it's very difficult to understand, but we'll try to learn like the mitzudos. The mitzudos pretty much learns like the interpretation that it refers to Klal Yisrael personified. Vayal kayonik lefanav. The pasuk is describing Klal Yisrael from the perspective of the umoy so'olam. The nations of the world, they look at the Jewish people and they say the following. The Jewish people is a yonik. A yonik means something which nourishes, but it nourishes has extremely limited nourishment. Its nourishment comes from secondary sources, not from primary sources. In other words, the umos olam, they view themselves until the time of Mashiach as being the most important things in the world. They are like the grass or the vegetation that actually derives sustenance from the earth. And the Jewish people, they derive sustenance from the umos olam. In other words, we live off them. They live off the source of blessing, and we live off them. That's how they look at us. So this is verse Vayal Kayonik Lefanav. The Jewish people have developed like a yonik, like a weed, or like a blade of grass, or a some type of branch which derives sustenance. Like a root that comes forth from a desolate land. The sustenance is very limited. And the Jewish people do not have any appearance, and there's no beauty. You heard a lot of drash about Hadar, Hadron Allah yesterday, Hadar. And the Jewish people don't have any beauty to them. It's a question. Do you have any issue with the battery? I think the battery is going dead. I think it's in that pattern. I was wondering when it makes that sound and the light is off. So they don't have any mare. V'nech medeyu. Should we look at them? Okay, so let's look at them. Mitzvahs really define everything I said comes from the mitzvahs here, and let's just read the source inside for more clarity. Pasuk Beis. Vayal kayonik lufanov. Lifnei. I'm reading the mitzvahs pasuk Beis. Okay, pasuk Beis, the mitzvahs David. Vayal kayonik lufanov lufnei bo lo hagidula hahu. Before that greatness comes to the Jewish people. Which greatness are we referring to? Referring to the Mashiach. Before the coming of Mashiach. Allah ka'anaf hayotzimenu ilan. The Goyim look at the Jewish people like a branch that comes out of a tree. She'ein lo yiniko min hakarka. The branch derives secondary, its source of sustenance is secondary. It's not the original. I have to turn this up, I think.
Excuse me, do you have another?
Yeah, it's good. Another Yeshaya here.
This is very poor.
Okay, one more time. It says here that the sustenance that the Jewish people derive is like a branch coming out of a tree. The ikur source of sustenance is the earth. The tree derives its sustenance from the earth, and then the branch derives its sustenance from the tree. The Goyim view themselves as the tree, who are deriving sustenance from the earth, and we live off them. We are the branch that lives off the tree. That's Golus. In Golus, we are secondary sources. I'll just tell you, Derek Agav, during the kinnis, I heard this very nice pshat that we have one of the kinnis, we have Echa and Eko. So this is a this really fits perfectly into this theme of these psukim. There's in this kina, I forgot which kina, in the kina Yud Gimel, we take the word Echa and we break it into two words, Eko. Where is the ko? And in that kina we mention, like, I think 13 different references of the word ko in Tanakh, where ko was used for bracha. Ko samar, like by Matan Torah, ko samar el bnei Yisrael, birchas koyhanim, ko samar el bnei Yisrael, ko samar ko yezarecha, by the bris ben Absarim. It says would come many places in Tanakh for very beautiful expressions, positive expressions of bracha. Now here's this is a fascinating Baal HaTurim. No, I'm sorry, Rabbeinu Bachya. Rabbeinu Bachya says that how many gifts do the Kohanim receive? 24. Right, there are 24 gifts from the kohuna. There's the zroya, the luchayayim, the akeva, the parts of the animal. There's truma smaiser, and so on and so forth. Then there is birchas koyhanim. And how does birchas koyhanim begin? Ko sevaruchu es b'nei Yisrael. Rabbeinu Bachya says ko is chafhei, 25. Birchas koyhanim is the 25th gift Hashem gave the koyhanim. Hashem gave the Kohanim 24 gifts: Truma, Truma Smaiser, Zroya L'chaim L'chaim Keva. Birchas Kohanim is the 25th gift. 25. What is the obvious question? Birchas Kohanim is not a gift; it's a service. Birchas Kohanim is something that the Kohanim have to do. All of the 24 gifts that the Kohanim receive Truma, they receive Truma Smaiser, they retrieve the Zroya V'Elachayim V'Akeva. The gifts are things that they receive. So what does it mean then that the Birchas Kohanim is a gift, is something which the Kohanim receive? They have an obligation to do something. So the answer is that the ultimate gift you can give a person is an opportunity to give. It's not fun to take your whole life. It's not a good thing to take. The greatest hana a person has in life is when he has an opportunity to give. If you're able to give, people have children. It's all about giving. That's the greatest pleasure in life. Hashem gave them 24 gifts, and then gave them gift 25, Koy Sevarchu B'nei Yisrael, to give. The opportunity to give to Klal Yisrael. The relationship between Kohanim and Klal Yisrael is a mashal to the relationship between Klal Yisrael and the Umoy Soilam. V'atem tihiyun li mamleches Kohanim v'goy kadosh. The entire Klal Yisrael relative to the nation of the world are called Kohanim. Just like Kohanim, the ultimate gift that the Kohanim is they give, Klal Yisrael gives. Klal Yisrael serves as an orlo amin. Bezman shebeis tamid shal yekayam, the Yisraelis in Yisrael shalmakam, the Chazal tell us, the world was blessed because of Klal Yisrael nebeis hamidosh. And the Chazal said that if the Umos Olam knew and appreciate how much bracha they receive because of the beis hamidosh, they would send their best armies to Yerushalayim to protect it, that no one should destroy it. Klal Yisrael, bezman shebeis tamid shal yekayam, gave the world. They gave the world material blessing and spiritual blessing. You know, Orla Amin. With the Churban, what happened? We were exiled. The Yerushalayim was Charaf. We were exiled. We came into their lands. We were taken to Chutz Liaretz. And then we have to take. We live off the fat of their land. That's what we're doing in that Kina, Eichan Eko. Echa Yashabada to Ira Basiyam. Echa represents the concept that Yerushalayim is all alone. When it's all alone, where are we? We are in exile. We, Ira that was once Ira Basiyam, full of people, multitudes of people, is now bottles. Where is everyone? Everyone's in Golos. And what are they doing in Golos? They take. They live off the fat of someone else's land. Bezman Shabbat Hanisha Yakayam. We were Kohanim. The attempt to leave Mamachas Kohanim. And what does it say about Kohanim? Kosev Aruch Hu. And it says in Tanakh, how many times? 11, 12, 13 times, Ko. All of those words, Ko, in reference to all of the great things of Klal Yisrael. Because all of those things represent Klal Yisrael in a very high spiritual state where they gave the world. They were givers. So Ko, Eko, what happened? Take the word Echa. And conscious. Echa means Echa. How can this happen? How could it be that we're in exile and we're takers? Eko. What happened to Klal Yisrael when they were in a matziv of being ko? Just like the Kohanim, ko, the ultimate bracha, gift was ko suvarcha, which was to give. Klal Yisrael has all of these great supernatural talents of ko. What happened to us that we lost the ability to give the world? We're no longer givers, we're takers. Echa is to be a taker. Eko is to be a giver. Yeah?
We were just discussing recently the idea that we, in Golas, we're tolerated when we develop the wealth and
but then they blame us immediately. Look at the spatial.
And in the sense that when we become takers and dependent, that's when they throw us out. But when we develop.
Yeah. Even in the best of times, when Germany,
they're protection and
they're jealous of our success. They're jealous, and they take it away from us. But it's not our land. When we are successful in Chutz Liaretz, whose money are we successful with? Whose economy are we? Whose tools are we using? Whose raw material are we using? We're using foreign raw material for our success. We become so successful, they get jealous and they want to take it away.
Right.
But the Shoroshim is not ours. We're
right.
Takers. We're living off the fat of someone else's land. In Eretz Yisrael, this is our land. Hashem gave this to us, so it's purely ours. Echa is a taker. A call is givers. And that's exactly what the nations of the world tell us. They mock us and they say us that you're just nothing but a taker. We are the tree. We are rooted in the ground. The ground is the true source of sustenance. And you, Klal Yisrael, you're just a branch living off us, the tree. You're takers. You're not the original source. Vayal kainik before the gedul, the greatness of the coming of Mashiach, before they come to recognize our greatness, Allah, they say about us, Allah, they say about the Jewish people, they were like a branch that comes out of a tree, and the branch does not derive sustenance from the kark, from the earth, from the source, Ela min ho ilon, it's deriving its source from a secondary source. They have no other source. They have no other source of sustenance other than from us. And the next words of the pasuk are kishorish meretzi, like a root which comes out of a desolate dry land. Rotzolaymar me'at ha'hashpa shehilo, the small amount of nourishment that the Jewish people have. The Jewish people will wither very, very soon. How many times did the guy predict that the Jewish people will become extinct? Just like Kisharish, like a root. If you go to the desert, you go to Arizona, and there's something growing out of the ground, what are you going to say? It's not going to last very long. As soon as the sun rises, it's going to wither out because it's a hot, arid, dry land. There is no moisture. Anything that grows will quickly wither. So that's the Pshat, the Pasuk base. Well, now we can go back to the Pasuk base one more time. We can understand this Pasuk in more detail. Vayal, this is the, we have to first think every pasuk here is extremely difficult. There are a lot of things which have, a lot of different things which have to be addressed. Who is speaking? So first thing we have to about pasuk is the one that's speaking is the Umas Olam, and they're speaking concerning Klal Yisrael, and they say about us that Jews are nothing. Vayal, they're nothing more than kayonik, like a root lefanov that comes like a branch that nourishes lefanov before it, before the tree. They come like a yonik lefanov before. So who's lefanov going on? I guess lefanov before them, before us, before the world. They're nothing more than a branch. Good morning. How are you?
Tired.
V'chasheresh me'eretz tziyah, and the Jewish feel nothing more like a root that comes out of a dry, arid land. They have no toyar, they have no appearance, they have no form, v'loihodar, and they have no beauty, v'nir'eyu, that we should be worthy of taking note of them. The goyim say it's not even worth it for us to take a second look at the Jewish people because they have nothing to them. V'loimare, they have no appearance. This parallels the word toyar and hodar. V'nech medeyu, that we should view them as something desirous, something of worthy and worth of note. There's nothing to them. So the total of your three expressions, toyar, hodar, and mare, none of these things do they have. All of their wealth and their success is all comes from secondary sources. Pasuk gimel, nivze, they say about us that we are despised. V'chadal ishin. Isha means humanity. We are removed. We are separated from the rest of humanity. We're not worthy. We're animals. We're not worthy of being considered human beings where we deserve to live. We're subhumans. Chadal Yishim. Ish mach oivois. We are people that are full of pain. We are, machavos means we're painful people. Everything about us is a source of pain. Vidua choili, all we know is from illness. We are the sick people of the world. We are the painful people of the world and the sick people of the world. Uchemaster ponim imenu, what does that mean exactly? Let's see over here what it says in the Mitzudos. Kiilu hister Hashem. Let's read the Mitzudos from the beginning. Hashem has concealed Himself from us. Let's look at the Mitzudos Pasuk Gimel. Nivzev Chadalishem, Al Ki Hoy Nivzev Yenei Kol. The Jewish people are despised. V'Hoy Chadal Me'Anoshim, and they are subhuman. Ki Lo Hoyimim Me'Akum Mischaber Imo, because none of the nations of the world are willing to form an alliance with the Jewish people. Legoidel Shiflu. So the reason why no one wants to form an alliance with us is because we are lowlifes. Because we are people that just are painful people. We are people that suffer. And anyone that will come near us will also suffer. So why would one person want to join us? And we are recognized, we are assumed to be to all human people, kibal chaloyim, people that are sick. And we cannot appear before them. It's as if we are in hiding. Being that we, that's so now referring to Hashem according to the Mitzvah, that refers to humanity. Being that we are so despised and ugly and subhuman, it's as if we have been hidden somewhere. We've always been consigned to exile. That's being hidden. We have been removed from our homeland, put in another part of the world. With afflictions and lowliness, to the point where we are disgusting to look at. No one wants to look at us. So back to the pasuk, we are despised. We are subhuman. We are people that are full of pain and suffering and only know from illness. And it's as if we have been hidden away because we're so ugly. We are such a problem for the world to deal with. They have no choice but to bury us under the carpet. We are despised, and no one's willing to give us a second thought. Pasuk Dalet.
Next question.
Yeah.
Now, there is a concept of what we call verbal abuse.
Yeah.
Abuse something.
This is worse than verbal abuse.
No, this is my question. If somebody tells you, you know, as to so and so, you tell a kid, you're stupid, you're this. After a while, the kid really begins to think he's stupid.
It's called a self-fulfilling prophecy.
So here, yeah, that's the question. Here, the guy not calling us this and this. So, we're, you know, we have one plus calls from Malachas Kahan, distinguished believer. Everyone else thinks you're stupid. Is this what Navi's saying, the Jews at that time and throughout the Golos? Or is it only the Goyim? Does it have an impact on the way a Jew begins to view himself? The Goyim think we're disgusting, forsaken, suffering, six excuses a human being. How does this impact on the Jewish psyche?
I don't know.
So how is the Jew to view himself?
You have to be strong.
I don't care what they say. Hell with you. I know what I am. Basically, I'm proud to be a Jew.
That's right.
And that's the controversy. I don't understand.
Otherwise, we wouldn't have said that. If we didn't take that out.
But how has that changed it today? I mean,
I don't know.
It's exactly
the question.
Except on, we become better. We're better. For
except
it.
You have Eretz Yisrael today. Today we have Eretz Yisrael.
You can use whatever you have. We have Eretz Yisrael. Don't we think we do something else?
If we didn't have that attitude, we wouldn't be around.
Exactly.
You have to be strong. It's a technique. This is what they say about you, and you have to realize you have to be strong. You have to recognize that despite the fact that they are looking down at you, strengthen yourself.
You know, the last line.
Yeah. Nivzev loy chashavnu. What's the line? Hoy nivzev b'yineinu. Therefore. We were despised in their eyes because of all of these things that they think about us. They did not consider us worthy of anything. They worthless. Ki amru, they said that Hashem has done this to us. So this is adding in. Hashem has rejected us. Further, they're saying not only are you disgusting just by definition, Hashem, God hates you. God has rejected you. That's Christian theology.
You are so low, Master Ponim, you're so low that your God doesn't appear to you anymore.
Right. He's rejected you. Moss, he's detested you.
It says Ki Amarnu, not Ki Omru.
Ki Omarnu, Yad Hashem Os Zozos, Ki Omaspo, Ki
Amarnu. Who's Omarnu? Omarnu's us.
Ki Omarnu, Ki Omar, they said to us, Ki Omar, I think it was the Omar, we said, I'm not sure.
The Jews are looking in the mirror. They see themselves as such.
Right.
It's a mirror thing.
Omarnu, we have said, Yad Hashem Os Zos Ki Mospo, you say it about yourself. Right. The Goyim say to us that, now don't take our word for it, take your word for it.
Maybe not the Goyim, maybe we see ourselves as this way, and as a result of that.
It's similar to the Haraglin.
Yeah.
They consider themselves
not worthy.
As grasshopper, right?
Chagam b'yineihem. Not worthy.
Same thing. That's the...
So the guy, they we have a low self-esteem, and the Goyim pick up on that. Don't take our word for it. You yourself said that. You yourself don't consider yourself worthy of all of these things, and therefore we're going to take you for your word, and we're going to step on you, make it even more difficult for you.
So how are we supposed to react to the Goyim if that's their attitude?
Yes.
Okay, so we feel strong internally, but how do you react? For example, not that I know most Gedolim against it, all these reach out efforts by the church and this interfaith movements, but how are we to react to Goyim and say, okay, we have to do business with you, you're a guy, we know your attitudes, your psyche is to hate us in general. We recognize that. So we'll work with you, we'll deal with you, we have to deal with you. But otherwise, you know, we're going to withdraw to our
soul. It's a very doubtful. You go back in time, we give the kinos. The Vikuach of the Ramban.
I will tell you the
context. The Rishonim were not afraid to debate the Goyim. The Rishonim go back. Today, we live in a new generation. We're very, very weak. So like you said, there were many Gedolim going back in time to after World War II, interfaith dialogue. Go back to the time of the Inquisition. Go back to the time of the Shevet HaTalmud. The Ramban. The Kuach Ramban. The Ramban.
We
the team of a Talmud
Chacham. I guess you're saying you were forced to debate. And you lost anyway.
It was a foregone conclusion that we're going to lose. That's not a
case.
Yeah. Okay, I don't know the answer. I guess it all depends on the situation.
Yeah.
A Goy today, a Christian today, is not like the Christians that were 500 years ago. It's different.
They're Christians.
It's different.
I think from my recent experience that we have to look at America as different from our European history. America is the Medina Shel Chesed, and attitudes here are different. I actually heard a lecturer talk about this, and where in Europe the model of religion was coercion. Either you belong to the state religion, or you were in trouble, right? Whereas in America, America was founded on religious tolerance. So there is dialogue. We don't get into theological dialogue, but we can, you know, we can definitely work on
so what do you
want
to talk
areas.
About? Hospitals, health insurance?
No, I'm not talking
about that. No, that's what the only thing is. You know, I think there was once a statement, I don't attributed to the Rav. In the time of the Inquisition, the basic thing was conversion by the sword. Now, it's still conversion, but by the smile.
Right. So?
Miyad Ochi, Miyad Esav. There's an Ochi and there's an Esav. The Esav does our sin by embracing us, and he does the sin by fighting against us. Embracing us is even worse. We mentioned the time of Paras Umadai. They were, the courage was good to us. We had a very good life in Bavel. And what happened? Intermarriage. Intermarriage was off the charts. When they came to Eretz Yisrael, that was the biggest problem. Ezra, Nehemiah, what to do with all of the Jewish the women? How could it be intermarriage? How could it be that they're so close with the non-Jews? We're most of a good part of Klal Yisrael is intermarried. It's because, like you said, with a smile, we can all live together, we can be happy together. And that's into a certain degree even a greater danger than when they're out there against you at the time of the Crusades. Okay, but this is a very powerful pasuk, obviously. Obviously, you really picked up on this, is that this is what the Goyim say about us. And this is the Eved Hashem personified in the Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, they suffer throughout Golis with this despised, low self-esteem that is put upon us by the Goyim, by ourselves. Rav Schwab, you have Rav Schwab, who describes in all the different details of in time of the Holocaust, the Germans, the curriculum they taught their children, that a Jew is subhuman. Every single thing in this pasuk, you can go and you can find in the curriculum that was taught to the German children. Pasuk
in Saudi Arabia is the same.
Right. Yeah. Well, they borrowed the Nazi propaganda.
Saudi Arabia education system.
Palestinians.
Even the Palestinians.
Palestinians, yeah. They this is exactly what they said. It was subhuman. We're ish machoy voice, v'yudu acholi, u'chemas terponim inenu, Hashem has hidden us away. Nivze. Hashem does not think about us. There's nothing to consider about us. Dalit. Achein choyoleinu hu nasa. And this, but however, this is very, very difficult, this pasuk, because again, we have to remember that we are describing here, according to the way we are learning, according to the Mitzvot Tavit, and according to most of the Mefarshim, the Eved Hashem that this section begins with is Klal Yisrael personified, and the one that is speaking are the Goyim, and now in pasuk Dalit we are jumping to the point. In Mashiach, when Mashiach comes, at that point, where the Umos Olam begin to recognize that they have been wrong all along. The Jew is awesome. The Jew, he is the crown of creation. And they have been all wrong. And then they say to themselves, but how could it possibly be that for all of these years, if it's true that they are the crown of creation, why then did they suffer? So they say something over here which is very difficult to understand. It could be also, according to many Mepharshim, that it's nonsense. It's not true what they say now, but this is the way that they think. Why would it be recorded here in this fashion? I don't know, but let's just see what it says. Ochein, now, at this point in the future, when it becomes clear the greatness of the Jew, they say, Choloyenu hunasa. The Jew, they carried our illness. They suffered what we should have suffered. We were the fools. We were the subhuman beings. We were the ones that should have been exiled and been tortured and been poor and despised. But look, it's an olam hafach. That's what they're saying. They are the ones that suffered the illness that really should have come upon us. Choyoleinu hunasa, umachiveinu sivolam, and our pain is what they took upon themselves. Va'anachnu chashavnuhu, and we were foolish. Here they repeat this. We were foolish. We thought nagua, that they were afflicted. Mukay, they were smitten, Elokim, by God, and Umu'uneh, and were humiliated, and were deserving of suffering. Let's see the Mitzvah's insight for precision. Dalit, Achein, but the truth is, Choloyenu hu nosa, Avol be'emes, Achein means, the truth is, Loi mo'as bo Hashem, Hashem never rejected them. Ki kol choli v'chol machav asher sovol hakol bo mipas atzmenu. It all came because of us. We are guilty. The nations of the world are now acknowledging their guilt. Ma shehayinu machliim this that we have brought illness upon them. Umachivim also biroa bichiroseinu. We caused them to suffer through our free will. V'anachnu chashvenuhu avlanachnu t'inu we thought v'chashavnu also l'negua umuko me'elokim ki mo'aspo v'al yodohu mu'uneh b'yisurim. It was a big mistake. It was a big mistake that we made to think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has rejected them and has despised them. There's nothing further than the truth. Hashem has not rejected them, has not despised them. The other way around, HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Who's them?
The nations of the world. Oh. The nations of the world, they are the ones who have made this terrible mistake. Let's see the next part. The part that continues to explain.
If you don't learn that this is the guy you're talking, how else can you learn this person?
So then, let's say it refers to, then it's a little bit easier. Let's say it's referring to Yirmiyah. Let's say it's referring to Yirmiyah. So then it means that Yirmiyah suffered. Yirmiyah suffered, there's such a concept, this concept, we don't know what it means. But there's such a concept that tzaddik, when he is soivel yisurim, it's a kapara on behalf of other Jews. And see, there's no such concept, at least that I know, that a Jew suffers on behalf of the non-Jews. I'm not familiar with that idea, that the Jewish people, Hashem created the world, and the non-Jews are sinners, and because they're sinners, they need atonement, and the Jewish people volunteer, will take the suffering on behalf of the non-Jews. That's ridiculous. What?
And the Goyim is substituting
Yoshka. Right. We'll get to that, right. But that concept...
That's where I thought you were going.
That concept is a foreign concept. At least that the Goyim are Rishoyim, the terrible things, and the Jews will volunteer to accept, we're so kind and generous, we'll take the suffering that they deserve for ourselves. That's nonsense. That's total nonsense. But it's not nonsense. I have no idea what this means. That one Jew says, Ribbono Shelolam, don't punish him. I'll take it. What does that mean? But there is such a concept among Jews. We're Achdus, our Arvus. We're all one nation. And when a tzaddik suffers, that suffering of a tzaddik is Yisurim, it's a kapara for other members of Klal Yisrael. Mm-hmm. Like I said, we have no idea. At least I have no idea why should it be that one should suffer on behalf of the Jews. Well, how does that work? I don't know. But that idea is recognized in Chazal.
Well, we learn all the time that a tzaddik or a gadol, God is more...
But that's only for him. We take it in a very limited sense.
Right. So the suffering that God would allow, not the suffering, the allowances that God would make for mistakes of an ordinary Jew are much greater than the allowances he makes. Right. He expects more from a tzaddikin. So on the other hand, this is the reverse of that. If a tzaddik suffers, he suffers more than an ordinary person.
But the similar understanding is when he suffers, he's only suffering for himself. What you're saying is Hashem has a higher standard for this tzaddik. Hashem wants to give him an incredible reward in the next world. But because on this, he has to be, he's punished on a different level. But it's all limited to himself. But there's also a concept... That when a tzaddik suffers, he's a kapara for the dor, for the Jewish people.
Right.
So if you learn this passage as a reference to Yirmiyah, and Yirmiyah suffered, like the tzaddik Gaon says, we're dealing with Yirmiyah, and Yirmiyah suffered, so his suffering was a kapara to some degree for Klal Yisrael. But if you're going to learn this, then this refers to Klal Yisrael, the Eved Hashem is Klal Yisrael versus Umas HaOlam, there's no such thing that Klal Yisrael suffers as a kapara for the Umas HaOlam. And obviously, you know what this means, like you say, the Christians. The Christians, they hijack these psukim. This is the classic. These are their psukim on the buses, Isaiah 53. They interpret this as Yashka. Yashka suffered for the Goyim. What?
Our sins, yeah.
Not for the Goyim.
For the Goyish sins.
No, originally they said he suffered for the Jews.
Or, okay.
No, that's not what they
were no Goyim.
Hashem, you had to be a Jew to be a Christian, the original Christians. You had to be Jewish. Right. Yeah.
But the point is, when I first found this in Medrash, in Eric Kalik too, this concept, I was like,
baffled.
Yeah, because, and the reason is because we are so conditioned to, because they hijacked it and they promote this idea, we think of it as their idea rather than our idea originally.
Right.
That's why we have
Right. Right, correct. The truth is, so according to the Mesudah, so we're basically saying is they're making this statement, but it's not a true statement. Well, we have to finesse it. They're saying, well, I don't think they're really saying that idea exactly, but basically the Mesudah is saying is, wow, we have been wrong. We have been so wrong all of these years, and now we feel so bad. We're the fools, we're the wicked ones, we have deserved all the punishment, and it's the Olam Hafach. Who has received this heavy dosage of punishment? Unfortunately, it's been the Jewish people. Achein, the truth is, choloyenu, one more time in the pasuk. Achein, the truth is, choloyenu hu nasa. The sickness that we deserve to suffer. Wow, hu nasa, they suffered. Why? That's Hashem's cheshbon. The pain that we deserve to suffer. Sivolam, they suffered. Vanachnu chashavnu. We've been fools all along. All the years of Golus, we thought they deserve what they got. Hashem rejected them. He forgot about them. Hashem was punishing them. We're fools. Vanachnu chashavnu. Nagua. They were Nagua. They were Mukei Elokim. They were Smimai Elokosh Baruch Hu Umuneh. And they were deserving of humiliation and affliction. Pasakei. Vuhu Micholol Mipishoenu. And they are Micholol from sins. So that means, Micholol means they suffer. Micholol comes from the expression of Chil Mitzvasiyon V'chal Cholah. For who? It's a continuation. They are suffering Mipishoenu, again, from our sins. Now what does that mean exactly? Or Jewish people. The Jewish people, this is a continuation of the previous sentence, they are suffering Mipishoenu as an atonement for our sins. Again, but like I told you, that's a mistake. It's what they say, they think. That's how they look at it. But according to them, but obviously it's not true. That's the difficulty in interpreting the pasuk in this fashion.
Let's, and who is Lashon Yachid?
Well, that the who is the Eved Hashem? The whole thing is the Eved Hashem. Eved Hashem personified. Who is the Eved Hashem? Is it Mashiach? Is it Yirmiyah? Is it Klal Yisrael personified as a single individual? So let's see those just those three words in the Mitzvot. V'hu micholol mipashenu. Ho emes hu me Hashem. The emes comes from Hashem. Avoloi bo ba'avur mo'oso bo. The truth is they were suffered. But it's not because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has rejected them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has detested them. Due to their evil ways. That's not true. Ach. Ba'avur pishoenu nismale chalchala. It's because of our transgression, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has filled them. Hashem has filled the Jewish people with suffering. Liyois pishe kola akum. Here's an incredible words. I don't know what this means. So they say that the sins of all of the idolaters, miskaprin, should be atoned. The hayisurin haboim olav. The affliction which comes upon the Jewish people. The Jewish people are the scapegoat for the sins of the nations of the world. Okay, again, very difficult, but that's what they're saying. That's what they're saying, but it doesn't necessarily mean. If Schwab writes, I think Ramesh writes, he writes, that's what they say. But there is no Makar and Chazal that such a thing should be true.
He translates the word love.
Yeah.
To kill.
Okay, so it's a soul they kill us. Okay, they kill us, and they say they were killing you as a kapara for us. This that you were killed. This that Hashem allowed us to kill you. Hashem put in our mind the idea to wipe out and annihilate the Jewish people was an atonement for the sins of the nations of the world all from the time of millennia, from the time of creation. Is there such a thing like that? Whoever never heard of this? Rav Shab says, no, there's no such thing. This is just what they say in their corrupt way of thinking at this point in time. So let's go further. Same idea. They have been crushed as an atonement for our sins. Now here is a beautiful, I mean not beautiful, but Rav Shab, no one comes to Rav Shab, he comes to explain the next couple of words of this pasuk. Musar shiloinenu olav. Uvachavura so near Polanu. Rav Schwab explains, Musa Shlomen means our peace. The Goyim always believed that the only way we will have peace and success and prosper is by getting rid of the Jews. So read the pasuk backwards. Shlomenu. The Nazis said, how will we have success, peace? How will the world achieve perfection? How will we receive shlemus? It's only by musar, by chastising and destroying the Jewish people. Olav, this is our obligation. It is in order for us to achieve shlemus, it is our obligation to destroy the Jewish people. This is the way they think throughout Golus. So, and when we will wound them, when we will hit them, near Polanu, that's when we will achieve healing. He brings out the expression in German, you can read the German there, and they used to have a song, is that when Jewish blood spurts, then all goes well with us. He has it in German.
The Judenblut, when Messer spritz, jedes Machmal so gut.
When the Jew's blood spurts,
everything goes well for us.
Everything goes well for us. It's exactly what it says here in this pasuk. One more time. Musa shloimeinu olav. You have to read it, an expression. Our shlemus will only come through Musa olav. When we kill them, we destroy them, we bring upon them tsar. Uvechavuraso, when we injure them, near Polanu. That's how we will be healed. They come to recognize the foolishness of this. Bi'achris hayomim, kulonu katzoyin to'inu. Now it appears that they continue to say this is amazing because they were now using the expression of tzon for themselves. For the goyim, say, "Wow, we've been fools. We've made such a horrible mistake." Like tzon. What's the image of tzon? This is a very interesting on b'chal mashal. Is that tzon are foolish in a certain way? If you have a whole flock of sheep. No, look, I'll give you a marshal. I guess they go to the train. I can give you a marshal. They go to the Sima Shas. I went with the train. So a lot of the people, I never go to Secaucus. I never go to MetLife. I don't know how to go. I go to the train here and there. I used to work years ago. I used to work and go on. I take my trains. I know how to go with my few little trains. That's all I know, my little teeny world. I don't know how to the big world. And Penn Station, I'm at Bakant and all the tracks, A, B, C, D, E, F. So I come there. I see all these from people. They're all buying tickets. I guess, oh, you go there. I just follow them. Wherever they went, I went. Problem is, is that if the leader of the pack, and everyone is like me, if the leader of the pack doesn't know what he's doing, and he goes to track G, and
that's it.
Exactly. We'll all end up in Chicago, because no one there knows where they're going. Oh, he's going to Mustama. They know, they look like they know what they're doing.
Black hat went to Chicago.
They all went there. So that is what the Moshe of Tzom, they follow. If it's one sheep that's confident and knows where it's going, all the other hundreds of sheep, that guy knows where it's going. We'll go, we'll follow. So the Goyim are saying this about themselves. We were fools. We had a couple of foolish leaders, and they told us that the Jews are they're a curse to the world. So we believe that. We believe that leader. And we developed a culture and a religion and a whole way of life based on following a few foolish people. We should have, years ago, 2,000 years ago, we should have sat down and said to ourselves, is it really true that the Jews are a curse to society, to the world? Of course not. And this Meshuggah that wants to go, Binad HaSemet, and wants to go and wipe out, he's the fool. So the Goyim say that we were like sheep, just like it's the nature of sheep, that the Haman, the masses, will follow a few sheep which appear to be confident, even though they don't know what they're doing, and they mail in the process. They misguide, mislead all of a very large number of flock, because that's the nature of a sheep. Doesn't question its leader. A sheep is loyal to whoever appears to know what they're doing. Instead of foolishness, instead of questioning, do you really know what you're doing? We were like that. We allowed ourselves to be swept away by a few foolish leaders and misguide us and tell us that the Jews are not worth anything. And now here we are, time of Mashiach, wow, did we make a big mistake? We ended up in Chicago. And then Chicago ended up in Afghanistan. We ended up in the wrong place. We've been foolish. Kulanu katsoin tainu. We all made a mistake like tzon. Where over time, ki ish ladarko paninu. Each person went on his way. The Hashem hifkia boy. Hashem hifkia. This is a complicated. What it means of the Hashem hifkia. Let's read the words. Es avon klanu. Hashem has visited upon us. Or hifkia bo. Same idea. Visit upon him. Same idea we said before. And wow, look at this. Hashem, look at all the suffering the Jewish people, all the pain that they suffered. Hashem visited bo upon the Jewish people, eis avon kulo, what we deserve to suffer. So they're acknowledging that all of the suffering that came upon the Jewish people really should have come upon them. Let's just see the Mitzvot Pasuk Vav, then we'll stop. Kulanu katsoim to'inu rotzoloimar, ki chen hoya biyodeinu avoin rav. We are in a lot of trouble. We have in our hand a very great sin. Ki kulanu tinu miderech ha'emes. Ve'hayasha. The goyim are speaking according to the mitzvahs. That's how we learn the pasuk. Shabbos also learned like this. Because we have all made a big mistake. We all made an error. Pasuk vav. In the mitzvahs, David pasuk vav. Ki kulanu tinu miderech ha'emes. Ve'hayasha. We have all strayed from derech ha'emes. Ve'hayasha. Kederech ha'tsoin. Just like sheep. Kesha'achas mehen toye mi'aderech. When one of them goes off the path, kulanim shacho sachareha, go like sheep, blind like sheep. The toyos ima, they make the same mistake. Our forefathers, the goyim are saying about their forefathers, have made a mistake and taught us, handed down this tradition that the Jews are inferior subhuman beings. We've also come to believe that the Jews are subhuman. And now, according to the Mitzvot, he goes even further. He's saying, not only are we like sheep, each individual is guilty in his own right. If we were only like sheep, then we have an excuse. We're just timid. We are naive. We follow the leader. But the truth is, we acknowledge that we've been wicked in our own right. Each generation is guilty in its own right. There's a degree of foolishness in following the ways of our forefathers, but there's also a degree of wickedness that we have to accept accountability for, that we, on our own, initiated or added, intensified our hatred for the Jews. And then Hashem has visited upon the Jewish people our sin is the cause of their suffering. In other words, because we have sinned, We hurt them. We caused them to suffer. Because of our mistake, we caused them to suffer. And we're now obviously a lot of trouble. Let's read that pasuk to tie back together. Pasuk Vav, kulanu katsoin to'inu. The goyim are speaking. We recognize that we have made a very great mistake. We followed in the ways of our forefathers. And we believe them when they told us that the Jew is subhuman. And furthermore, ish ladarkoi poninu, each one, each generation, each individual has added his own unique chidush in his hatred towards the Jew. The Hashem hefkia bo, and because of this mistake, we tormented, harassed, terrorized, brought upon the Jew great suffering. Eis avon kulanu, our sin caused us to believe this and to cause the Jewish people to suffer to such a great degree. Okay, so we'll stop here with Pasuk Zion.